If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I simply ask for one favor of him beyond mortal kin, and I am sure he would grant it again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we long to see here below, but the time and the treasures kept making plans, you know. By the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew, and I'll stroll over heaven with you. I'm gonna stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. We'll renew old acquaintance and friends we once knew. Then we'll meet all our loved ones and see Jesus too. That will be a glad reunion. There'll be much there to view when I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all the troubles and heartaches are vanished away. We'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll I want to stroll over heaven with you. Good job.
Many times I have wondered at the sights of that city, and all have my Brother Cleo is going to come and he's going to read for us today. I need you to look up some scriptures, so I'm going to give them to you now, all right? Matthew chapter 28. And then when you found that, we're going to go over to Luke chapter 16. So look for Luke chapter 6, Mark chapter 16. And then look up after you find Mark chapter 16, Brother Cleo will give these to you again. Luke chapter 24, and then John chapter 3, and Acts chapter 1. And I know that's a lot of verses, and he's going to flip around. So as you you find each one of those, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 3, and Acts 1:8. All right, Brother Cleo.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Except for you, Dave. So this first passage will be out of Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The second one is going to be over in Mark chapter 16. And the verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Next one will be over in Luke chapter 24. And this is just a side note. Christ is referencing something here in the Old Testament, and if you want it, it's Hosea 6, 1 through 3. At least one of them is. So we'll be reading Luke 24, 46 through 47. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And our last one, no, sorry, not our last one. And this is one of those obscure ones. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this one, but we're reading John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And our last one's going to be over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
We're going to have a word of prayer here in just a moment, but I want to kind of give you a little bit of food for thought. I was sharing this with the teens this morning, and you say, well, you know, my thought in the lesson at first may not appear to have much to do with each other, but if you think about it, you'll be able to put it together. Sin. How does God feel about sin? The Bible says God hates sin. Now, does he love the sinner? Yes, he does. But God hates sin. The penalty for sin is death. That's death in hell and separation from God for all eternity, and that's physical death. So again, there's a consequence for sin, and again, the reason I bring out the consequence for sin is because it's a severe sin. Let me back up there. God views sin that harshly. and he judges it that harshly. And you know, I was thinking as I was preparing the teen lesson this week, and we're on the subject of sin down in the in our teen class, and I was kind of wondering about it. And you know, if I know that God hates sin, and I know that God put a severe judgment on sin, I got to ask myself, has God changed his mind? Does God today feel the same way about sin that he did in Adam and Eve's day? Well, yes, he does. And has he lessened the punishment and the judgment for sin that he did then that he does today? No, he has not. Then I kind of wonder, Christians, why do we take an attitude towards sin as, oops, oh well, can't help it, devil made me do it, if God hates it like that? You say, well, you know, now wait a minute, you know, what are you telling me? If I sin, I lose my salvation? No, I'm not telling you that. If you have truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have put your faith and trust in Him, you have been forgiven for past, present, and future sin. But sometimes, we as believers take that as a license to do whatever we feel like doing because, oh, well, I'm only human, you know, what can you expect? Well, sin, disobedience to God is still sin. And even though we're saved, we're born again, and we're on our way to heaven, that does not excuse sin. And you say, well, you know, the world and what's going on out there, you know, they're sinful. Yeah, but today I want to kind of talk with us inside here. And as we... And again, what that is that's just kind of food for thought. I want us as born again believers to keep that on our mind, because I am as you are. I did not go this past week without sinning. Did I sin because I couldn't help it? No, I sinned because I was drawn away by my own lust. Did the devil make me do it? No, I'm sorry to say, the devil can't make anybody sin. We sin willfully. Even Christians? Yes, we do. And does God feel the same way about sin now that he did before he saved me? Yes, he does. You say, well, where are you going with this, preacher? What are you trying to get across here? You know how far, you know how you can judge how your relationship is with God is? When you sin, is it even bothering you? You know, there's many Christians today that their sin, and they sin and they sin and they sin, and their relationship is so far away from God that they don't even think about it. Don't even give it a oops. Or I shouldn't have done that. There's no conviction. I'm not talking about the world on the outside. I'm talking about us. Amen. And what I'd like you to do is, as we get close to our missions conference, and we're going to be talking about missions, I'd like you to think about those things. Because what we're going to talk about today, the disobedience of it is sin. But many Christians look at the Great Commission as such a big task. And who am I amongst so many? So what we do is we just kind of let it roll off our back, and we forget all about it, and we don't attempt to do anything about it. And the Bible says disobedience is sin. I mean, think about this, okay? Adam and Eve in the garden. What was so wrong with taking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Was it the fruit? No. Was it the tree? No. It was disobedience. God said, you can freely eat of every tree, but of the tree of knowledge of good, and thou shalt not eat. In the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And so as we go on, I'd like you to think about that, and I just kind of threw that out here this morning. And I'd like you to think about it over the next few weeks, because we're going to prepare for our missions conference, which is coming up in September. September the 12th through the 15th. And I want you to be prepared. And I want us to be prepared for God to move in our hearts and in our lives. I want God to do a great things in our missions revival and move us in the way that we'll be able to do so much more for missions. And I tell you this, and I'm preparing you, because I want us to be ready to trust and obey. And so I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and then continue on. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. Lord, I love your people. I love this church. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I know many times I fail at showing my love. And Lord, I know many times I fail and I'm disobedient in what I know that I should do that I don't do. And Lord, I want to do many things, as Paul said, and I fail at them. And Father, I just pray that you would help me, Lord. Help me to draw closer to you. Lord, help me to bring the message to your people that you would have us to have here this morning. Lord, I pray if there'd be anybody among us that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'd listen closely to the gospel part of our message. Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in you, not a church, not a denomination, not their works, not their baptism, but they would put their trust and faith in you and the Lord Jesus Christ and what was done on Calvary. And Father, I just pray us as Christians, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to change our attitude about the Great Commission. You change our attitude about the things of God. And Father, we'd stop looking at going out and telling others about Jesus something we'll do when we get time. But Father, we'd surrender to what you told us to do and be obedient to your will. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at missions and Bible missions, there are various ideals concerning the work of missions in our modern day. The Bible way is the best way. To deviate from God's word is to open our arms to error, and thusly we become easily prey to the desires of evil men. And what I'm getting at, or what I mean by all that I just read there, is the Bible talks about missions. The Bible talks about what we are to do as saved, born-again believers. And we need to be careful. We need to make sure that we stick with that as believers. And what happens today is we look at so many things. And again, if we don't look at what the Bible says, we'll get taken up on what the world has. The world has a lot of good causes. There's the March of Dimes. There's St. Jude. Taking food to the Jewish people. You can even donate so much to take care of dogs at the animal shelter. There are so many things on television and in our world today that we can get involved in. And if we're not careful and if we don't have the right ideals, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get involved in a lot of things that don't mean anything and that is not advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not doing anything for the kingdom of heaven. In our church, I want us here to always, every ministry that we have, everything that we do, the purpose of it should be worldwide evangelism. If it is not for worldwide evangelism and bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, then it has no place in the church. And folks, now there's nothing wrong with good tools. There's nothing wrong with using those tools to the benefit of spreading the gospel. But we need to make sure that tool is in its proper place and doing the right thing. So I want us to look at some things here this morning. And I want us to look at Bible missions. And I want us to understand some things. And first of all, What we need to look at is we look at Matthew chapter 28, and we look at the Great Commission there. What we need to understand, Matthew chapter 28 through verse 20, is a command given. It is where God told his children that they were to go into all the world. In verse number 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost." You know, that is a command. Now, if I understand a command right, and you know, and growing up as a child, my father was good at giving orders, and that's what a command is. Now, when he gave me an order, when he gave me a job to do, when he gave me something to do, it was not a suggestion. You know, many times we look at the gospel as a suggestion. Is this is what God wants us to do if we have time, if the weather's good, if there's nothing else on our plate, if nothing is going on in our schedule, then it'd be a good idea for you to go out and tell people about it. That's really kind of the way that we look at the Great Commission nowadays in our churches. And there's probably some here in our church today that's the way you look at it. But what you need to understand is the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 28, it says to go. Irregardless of the weather, irregardless of the conditions, irregardless of schedule, irregardless of anything, the Bible says that we should go. Now, in Mark chapter 16, it tells us where to go. It says into all the world. Mark 16 verse number 15. It tells us where to go. It says go into all the world. Now, again, as we look at things and we study out the Word of God, and if you look at that verse closely, it says into all the world. Again, in Matthew 28 tells us to go. In Mark 16, it says that we're to where we're to go is we're to go into all the world. Now, you know, you've heard me say this before. What into means? That means getting in. That means getting involved. Now, that doesn't mean acting like the world. That doesn't mean taking the world's likeness and look upon us. But what that means is, in order to do that, what we have to do is we have to head out these doors, and we need to go into the highway in the hedges, and we need to go out where they are. So many times, and this movie's coming back around, you know, the one about the baseball diamond, you know, if you build it, they will come. You know, many Christians, we take that attitude. And you'll see churches around the world today that they'll take up an attitude. They'll build a nice big church and they'll have them a band and they'll do all kinds of things to bring the people in and to attract the people there. You know, that's not our job. What our job is to go out. The Bible says go into all the world. That's talking about location. We're to go into all the world, to every part of the world. We're to go to Jerusalem. We're to go to Judea. We're to go to Samaria. And we're to go to the othermost parts of the world. Now, and again, the tone that the Word of God is using here, it's using it as a command, not an option, a command. And then what we see here in Matthew 28, it tells us the command, we're to teach all nations. In Mark again in 16:15, it tells us every creature. You know, the Word of God not only tells us where we're to go, the Word of God also tells us who we're to go to, and it leaves nobody out. It says teach all nations. You know what that's talking about? Nations. That's not talking about Africa. That's not talking about China. That's not talking about Mongolia. That's not talking about Mexico. That's not talking about the Middle East. What that's talking about is every language under the sun. Every single individual. Every tongue. And it makes it clear. It says teach how many? All nations, not some. You'd be amazed. I took our young people this week over to First Baptist, and we toured the print shop, and the man giving us the tour began to speak to us about all of the people of the world that don't have a gospel message, all the people of the world that do not have a Bible in their language. And folks, that's about 85% of the world that does not have a Bible in their language. They do not have one single missionary even thinking about going to where they are. And the Bible tells us that we're to go and teach all nations. The Bible says every creature. You know, when I think of that word, every creature, you know what that means to me? Doesn't matter who they are, how they're dressed, or what they act like, we're to make sure that we witness to them. We're to make sure that we take the gospel to them. You know what we do many times? We go out and we analyze people. We look at them and think, he's interested, and she's not. He is, she isn't. Well, that one probably would, this one probably wouldn't. You know what the Bible says? It doesn't matter if they want to hear it or not. It doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, or how they act. The Bible says that we are to go and we are to teach all nations. We're to go and we are to preach, as it tells us in Mark chapter 16, to every creature. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they've done physically to their body. It doesn't matter at all. The Bible says we're to go and we're to preach to them. The tone in the scripture is given a command, and it's talking about the people. The next thing that is commanded, as we already start on, we're to go and we're to preach. The Bible tells us what we are to preach. The Bible tells us we are to preach the gospel. We're not to preach a gospel. We're to preach the gospel. Folks, there are not many ways to be saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that is through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, and by faith, putting our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that or anything added to that is another gospel, and it may be a gospel. The word gospel, you know what it means? Good news. You know, Ed McMahon may knock on your door and say, I'm going to give you $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. Well, that's the gospel. That's good news. But you know what that's not? That's not what God told us to command. That's what not God commanded us to do. The Bible says that we're to go and teach the gospel. We're to preach the gospel. What we're to do is, Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 1 through 4. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand by, which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. We are to present the gospel according to the scriptures. And you know, another thing in this passage of scripture that really kind of stuck out to me here as I read it, you know, Paul said, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. You know why most people, and why some of you all in here never take the time to preach and teach the gospel? You can't preach and teach what you don't have. You can't teach and preach what you don't have. You know, I could line up a bunch of folks and tell you I've got a nice gray Tahoe out in the in the parking lot. I want to sell you, and I'll give you a good price. I'll sell it to you for a dollar. You know, I bet everybody in here would line up to buy that car. The only problem is, it's a nice car, got nice leather seats, it's dependable, good looking, but it ain't mine. I cannot sell you something that does not belong to me. I cannot sell you something that I do not own or possess or have. And you know, a lot of times the reason many of us don't soul win and don't witness and don't take time to preach the gospel is because we don't have it ourselves. You say, well, you know, brother, you're trying to make me a doubt. No, what I'm trying to do is get you to examine your life. I'm trying to get you to examine your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you are saved, if you are born again, the Bible makes it very clear that we're to go. The Bible makes it very clear what we are to preach, and we are to preach the gospel. Again, we're also to preach repentance. You know, that's a big thing that is failing in our preaching today. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47, it says, "And that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You know, we need to start at home. We need to start at home. You know, Paul here, he lets us know, in the book of Luke, it explains to us that we also not only need to be preaching the gospel, we need to preach repentance and remission of sins. You know, many people today, I always put it this way. They're professors, but they're not possessors. You know, we have a lot of people today running around saying, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian." We've even got some guys in the White House all the way up to the top, the president, is saying, "I'm a Christian." You know, I'm not his judge. But I probably, looking at the fruit that he bears, I got a pretty good idea that he ain't. But that's between him and God. But you know what we need to do? We need to be preaching repentance and remission of sin. You know, the Bible says if you don't repent of your sin, you're not saved. If you don't repent of the sin of unbelief, then you're not saved. And we need to make sure that in our preaching that the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In today's world, we have made sin to be a game, to be optional. And in the world and even in our church. But the Bible tells us that we're to preach repentance and remission of sin. There's one way to be saved. And only one way. Then another thing that we're to preach as we're preaching the gospel and we're preaching repentance and remission of sin, we need to preach in His name. You know, that's very important. You know, it doesn't matter a whole lot of what Faith Independent Baptist Church thinks or believes. The gospel is not relying upon Faith Independent Baptist Church. If you're here and you've been saved and you're a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church and you've been dunked and baptized, if you've not put your faith and trust in Christ and in His name, I got news for you. You're not going to make it to heaven. Because it's not being a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church. It's not being a member of any church, any denomination, or any social club anywhere around. The Bible says that we are to preach in His name. The Bible says there is salvation in only one person, Jesus Christ. Is that what tells us in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47? It says we are to preach in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You know, it tells us here, a saved, born-again Christian is not going to be ashamed of what they have. You know, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I don't witness as much as I should, and I'm under great conviction about that. I don't tell as many people about the Lord Jesus Christ as I should. But you know, when you try to hide your faith, when you're ashamed to mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'd be checking up if I were you? I'd be checking up if you sincerely are born again. I'd be checking up to see if you actually put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul declared here, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to salvation. You know, praise the Lord. It is the power of God. It is the power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone, no exceptions, that believeth. And that's the key right there, having faith and trust and believing in what Jesus Christ did for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not only commanded to preach, we're not only commanded to preach repentance and remissions of sin, we're not only commanded to preach in the name of Jesus, what we're also commanded to do, after they've gotten saved, we're commanded to baptize them. You know, most people think your job is finished once you've led somebody to the Lord. No, I beg to differ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our job is not finished. Now, eternity is settled. They're on their way to heaven. But what our job is, the Bible says, is we're to baptize them. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to take them a little bit further. We're supposed to help them and guide them to the next step of obedience in their Christian life. Baptism in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, we see that there. We need to follow. Baptism is following salvation. It's following salvation. It's the first step of obedience is baptism. As in salvation, there's only one way. Also in baptism, there is only one way to be baptized. After salvation, by immersion, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Remember these three words. After, by, and in. If you've gotten saved and if you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to do that. You really need to do that because it is the first step of obedience in the Christian life. And if you've not been properly baptized, if you've been sprinkled, I'm sorry, you've not been baptized. If you got baptized and then you got saved, you've not been properly baptized. If you've not been fully immersed, you've not been properly baptized, and it's something you need to do over again. You say, well, why are you getting on that? Well, we need to make sure that we do the full counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm commanded by God. After a person is saved, I'm commanded to baptize them. I'm commanded to teach them. There's only one way to be saved, and there's only one way to be baptized after you're saved. Baptism does not make you saved. You get baptized because you are saved. Amen. Then the next thing that we're commanded by the Word of God to do, we are commanded to teach them. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, what it tells us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's our responsibility after a person has been preached to, after repentance and remission of sin has been preached, after they've accepted Christ as their Savior, we're to baptize them. And then after they're baptized, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to take them on down the road a little bit further. You see, our job isn't finished after salvation. Our job isn't finished after baptism. Our job is to take them on down the road just a little bit further. And folks, how are we, if the Lord tarries His coming, how are we going to be here in 20 years from now? By teaching. By teaching. And by showing others how to be saved, showing others what they need to do as far as baptism, and then showing others what they're supposed to do with the rest of their life. You know, I thank the Lord that I come from a church that believed in missions. I thank the Lord that I come from a church that taught me what my responsibility was and helped me and get that done and even kind of pushed a little bit and even kind of preached a little hard and even kind of let us know that, hey, it's sin if you don't. You say, well, now, I don't know that I agree with that either. If I don't go out and witness and if I don't go out and teach and if I don't go out and disciple others, you know, that's not a sin. It sure is. And can I ask you folks, how does God feel about sin? He hates it. Has God changed His mind about Christians and sinning? Just because we're saved, does God all of a sudden think, oh well, they don't have to worry about it. They're saved. They can go ahead and live like they want, do what they want. It doesn't matter. They can sin. They can smoke, cuss, drink, chew, run around with those that do. You know, they can do whatever they feel like because they're a Christian. No. You know, they can evade going out and preaching and telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ because they're my children. No. It's all sin. And we need to look at it as such. And you know, if we would start looking at our disobedience on going out into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, if we would start looking at it as it is when we don't, it being sin, I guarantee you, we'd start changing the way we live. We'd start changing where we go, and we'd start changing some things that we do. But you know what? All of a sudden, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we got saved, we've kind of taken an attitude of sin as to be, oh, well, I can't help it. You know, I'm only human. Here's another good one I like. The devil made me do it. The devil don't make you do anything. And what we do is we take a very easy relaxation of sin, especially where it comes to preaching and teaching the gospel. Especially where it comes in discipling and bringing people further on down the road in the things of Christ. We're commanded to teach. The Bible says, teach them. Who's them? Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What are we to teach them? 2 Timothy 2:2 tells us, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What are we to teach them? The same things that we have been taught. The same thing that I'm telling you today, you know what we need to do? We need to tell our children. We need to tell our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to learn it ourselves, and we need to go out and teach somebody how to do it. You say, well, I don't know that I can do that anymore. You know, my teaching time is done. Well, no, it's not. You say, well, how do you know that for sure? You're still breathing and you hear exactly what I'm saying. You go, I don't like what you're saying. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to teach what has been committed to us. We're to teach others who, the Bible says, shall be able to teach others also. I would hope with all my heart that our church would be a church of training our replacements. That's my goal. That's my desire. Train our replacements. Sunday school teachers need to be training future Sunday school teachers, and so on and so forth. And then it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 another thing that we're to teach them. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's three things in here that studying does for us. There's three things if we'll teach other people to study that will help them. First of all, it's to show them that thyself approved unto God. A workman, the second thing, needeth not to be ashamed. And then the third thing, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons can come and knock on the door and persuade so many people, especially. I had a Jehovah's Witness man tell me this one time. He said, our church, he said, is full of former Baptists. You know what I told him? I said, they may be full of former Baptists, but they're not former born-again believers, the most of them. And on the other hand there too, you know why they can be so easily swayed? You know why they can be so easily changed? Because we're not doing our job. We're not teaching them. We're not teaching them to study the Bible. We're not teaching them to study that so that they'll be approved unto God. We're not teaching them a workman that not needeth not to be ashamed. We're not teaching them to rightly divide the word of truth. What is today's lesson about? I'm helping Faith Independent Baptist Church understand that the Great Commission is the church's mission. The Great Commission is what each and every one of us need to be involved in from the bottom to the top. And we need to do it. And if we're not doing it, we are sinning against God because He commanded us to do that. And then also what we're to teach them in Matthew chapter 28 that it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 through 17. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know what? We need to start young. We need to start young. We need to start spiritually young, those who are born again, even though they're old in age, they're a child in Christ. And we need to start young, and we need to be teaching our children. Why does Faith Independent Baptist Church need multiple Sunday school classes? Why do we need to invest in our children? Why do we need to invest in our young people? Why do we need to invest in our young adults? We need to invest in them because what we need to do is give them the tools that God has given us through the Holy Scriptures to be able to preach and teach. And it goes on to say which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then we're to teach them all Scripture, from Genesis to Revelations. All Scripture is given. You know, there's some people that think that not all the Bible is important today. I had a guy tell me one time, "Only the things in red in the New Testament." You know what my reply to him was? Well, then why did God preserve the rest of it? Amen. Why did God give us 66 books if He only wanted four Gospels and only what was read that we're to pay attention to? You know, we're to pay attention to, and we're to be responsible, the Bible says, for, and we're to teach. All Scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God. We need to let them know where our Scripture comes from. The Word of God that I have here today is not Mark Siegbert's opinion. The Word of God I have here today is not Faith Independent Baptist Church's opinion. It came from God. It was inspired by God. It was given from God. And God expects us to obey it. It's not an option. It's not something we can go through. Many times we treat the Bible like a smorgasbord. We go through and, yeah, I like this and I'll do this, but this over here I'm not going to do. You know, we take it from Genesis to Revelations and we get busy and we serve the Lord. And if something in our life is contrary to the Word of God, we change what's in our life. We don't change the Word of God. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine. Where do we get what we believe? Where do we get what we stand on here at Faith Independent Baptist Church? We didn't get it from Baptist doctrine. We got it from Bible doctrine. We got it from what God said. Who cares what the Baptists say? We do it because what God says. It says for doctrine, for reproof, for evidence, for correction. Again, if there's something in the Word of God that's contrary in your life, don't change the Word of God. Many people look at the Word of God and they fit their life around the Word of God. You know, that's not what you should be doing. You should be fitting your life. You should allow the Word of God to be around your life. It's not optional. It says it's for correction. It's for instruction. How do we know what to do? How do we know that the Great Commission is a command from God and disobedience is sin? Well, the Bible's for correction. It's for instruction. And it says for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the people that are saved, the people that are born again, the people that have put in their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know why we're floundering so bad as a church, folks? It's because we're trying to do it outside of God's Word. We're trying to do it by man's opinion. And that's not the way we should do it. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then finally, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know what we're to teach them? You know what we're to teach people that get saved? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what it tells us in the end of Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to teach those coming up everything that we have been taught. All things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know what we need to be teaching them? We need to be teaching them. They need to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What we need to do is we need to be preparing our children. We need to be preparing our young people. We need to be preparing our young adults to go to the mission field. We need to be preparing them to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can we prepare them? You know, preacher, isn't that what we hired you for? Isn't that your job? Certainly is, but it's also your job as well. It's your job as well. And you know how you do it most of all? You know how you train and teach the upcoming generation? You give it to them from the Word of God, and you show it to them how you live. You know, we get upset with our politicians that give us mandates to put on masks and do all that silly stuff they're talking about. And we get really upset when they decide that, hey, this is good for you, but not for me. But we sit in our churches every week, and we look at the world, and we look at our young people in the church, and we say, hey, this is good for you, but not me. You go do what I tell you, not what I do. You know what the children are going to do in the next generation? They're going to do what you're doing. Very few will ever do what you're telling them. They're going to do what you're doing. And folks, I love you. And I love this church. But what we need to do, it's high time that we put it in gear and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. We get busy proclaiming His name. We get busy on telling the lost how to be saved. And then when they get saved, bring them in here, and we need to get them in the water. We need to get them baptized. You say, well, why? They're already saved. They don't need to be, it's not for their salvation. No, it's not for their salvation. But it'll be the next step that they need to do in order to move on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we're to teach them. And then it says we're to teach them. We're teaching. It said we're to continue. In church, we need Sunday school teachers. We need classrooms. You say, oh, well, we don't have that many children. Don't worry about that. You be ready. Because they're coming. Because they're coming. But we need teachers to be willing to say, hey, I'll do that. I'll teach. I'll be a part. I'll share what God has so graciously given me to the next generation. And I want y'all to think about it as we come up to missions conference. We need missionaries. You say, oh, well, preacher, most of us are too old to do that. Well, I wouldn't count yourself out yet. My dad surrendered his life many years ago as a young man. Went away to Bible college for 3 years. After 3 years of Bible college, after much prayer, come home, and he told my pastor this. He said, Pastor King, he said, I don't believe God would have me be a preacher, but I believe God would have me raise some preachers. And all four of us boys are preachers. You know why? Because we had a good example to follow. We had a dad that was in touch, and I say was, he's still here, that is in touch with the Word of God. We have a dad that showed not only taught us, not only brought us to church, not only guided us, but he showed us with his life how important God was. And I remember as a young boy looking at my dad and thinking, if God is so important to him, God really must be somebody. God really must be somebody if he's that important to my dad. Because there was nothing my dad let get in his way on serving the Lord or telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ or being in church. He was there. And I thank God for that example. Because what it did is it helped me. Because it backed up what he was saying with his mouth from the Word of God, it backed up because he was showing it in his life. And you know what we need here at Faith Independent Baptist Church? We need some men and we need some ladies that are going to stand up and say, I'm not only going to show it to you, I'm not only going to teach it to you, but I'm also going to show it to you with my life. So as we head into our missions conference, folks, will you think about that? You say, well, I'm not going to the mission field. Well, if we don't care about our neighbor, whether they go to heaven or hell, we're really not going to care about those overseas. There's much for us to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for what you're doing, what you've done in my life, what you're doing in my life. And Father, I pray that you'd forgive me for where I have failed you. Lord, that those that I should have witnessed to that I didn't witness to. Lord, the people I should have extended a hand and showed and I didn't. And Lord, I know it's sin. And I know it's wrong. And I know you hate sin. I know you love me. And Father, I pray that you would help us as a church as we head towards our missions revival, Lord, that we would begin in our own lives, Lord, to examine ourselves. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody here among us today, Lord, that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day that they accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for that one, Lord, that hasn't been baptized and they need to be baptized. Lord, I pray that they would come forward today and surrender to do that. And Father, I pray for the ones that you've been dealing with and speaking to about joining the church. Lord, I pray today, Lord, they would come and they would join and be a part. And Father, we'll love and thank you for all that you're going to do. Lord, for the souls that will be saved, the people that will be baptized, for those who will join, Lord, and for those who will go out and witness and those who will be witnessed too. Lord, I just pray that you would just move in a mighty way and be with our invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. If you all stand to your feet, and Brother Chuck, if you'll come. We're going to have an invitation here. And old-fashioned altar, if God's dealt with your heart this morning, I would encourage you to come and pray. If you're here and God has dealt with your heart about church membership, can I tell you this? It's not a difficult thing. First of all, you must be born again. You must have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have followed the Lord in believer's baptism by immersion. You say, well, I've not been baptized. Well, we can take care of that. But you need to be baptized by immersion in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost after your salvation. And if you've been a member of a like faith church, you can move your membership over here. If God's leading in that way, and that will be fine. Or if you've never been a member of a church, as long as you understand what is necessary, we'd love to have you. We'd love you to join up with us and to go out and reach and preach and teach the gospel and reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ and even some of you go to the mission field. So whatever God has laid upon your heart, will you do it this morning? And don't delay.